Please bear with me. I am a technophobe, and my Lizzie has insisted that I used this thing. So I'll be gingerly trying to scroll it without deleting anything. So Romans 8. Very quickly, I wasn't a Christian for a long time. I was a Buddhist, and I had a cousin who, every time he met me, gave me this passage, especially a bit about if he could give our Lord Jesus Christ, how much more, and. And when I was preparing last week, I found an old church hymnal, and lo and behold, he'd written the whole thing at the front. So clearly, this is very close to my heart. It's also quite tough for me to be standing here telling you about this wonderful love of God. But I'm going to do my best, okay? We're going to go through 11 verses of compassion, of comfort, consolation, and hopefully restoration before we leave here today. Sweet words of assurance which bring the sovereignty of God to the fore. I don't know, I used to, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ears. I'm sure there are a few people as old as me who know that. And it's just wonderful. And this last few days, it's really come to play, and it is living. It's living. These verses are the ultimate assurance of the immeasurable love that God has for his children. Verse 28 reads, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." He works, not worked, or will work, but works. Even though it reads works. It is a present continuous. I learned English as a second language, so I use words like present participle. Do you remember? Yeah, so it's present, it's in action. It is an expression of an active action. He's working. It is a clear case of God is ever present and actively working for good. He doesn't take a tea break. He doesn't get irritated with us. He doesn't get fed up. He just continues. It doesn't matter where we are, whether we're obedient or not. He is continually working good. He's working, making good all the terrible things we go through, self-inflicted or not. Whatever situation that we find out ourselves, all things, all circumstances. Is it Psalm 37? It says, in all things, I was hungry, he fed me, he answers all my prayers. And it's one of the first verses I was given a long time ago, and there were about 10 or 15 all. It's all absolute, not some. All things. I was reading a commentary by Mike Taylor, which I'm going to share. Plagiarized. No, I've given you his name. So, in all things means God works through everything that happens to us, be it illness, loss, broken relationships, debt, and many more heartaches. However depressing and fruitless it may seem, however fearful or anxious, we can be sure that God is working in the situation. I'm sure many of you are sitting here right now. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I am in a terrible place. I am in the darkest valley. And I was on my way there before Monday. But I can stand here and speak to you because I know without a doubt, with my last breath, I will say, my Redeemer liveth. And he loves me. And he keeps me going. And he does that for you too. And you know, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Please, this is not time for self-flagellation and feeling that, oh, I should remember he loves me. Sometimes you just don't. Sometimes it feels so far away. How can this be? But know what? You keep coming. You keep calling on the name of Jesus. You keep praying. And I think it's fantastic. And I think you should pat yourselves on your backs. Because deep down, you believe and you know that he loves you beyond measure. Remember, this doesn't imply that bad things happen for our good. It does not. He didn't intend it to be like that. I believe what Paul meant was when bad things happen. My nephew, carp happens. Carp means crap. My nephew one day came home and said to his mum, Luke said a bad word. And so mum said, what? And he said, I can't say it, but I will write it. And he was, what, six? So he spelled carp. So in my home, carp happens. But God works through them all. All of them. I mean, this is like the whole paradox thing again, isn't it? We know the story of Joseph, sold into slavery, abandoned, betrayed. What happened? The beginning of Israel. Our Lord Jesus Christ. All that time, God was working behind the scenes. Now we know. We know that he was working behind the scenes, and he is still working behind the scenes. Tissue, please, somebody. I have personally chosen to believe he is actively working good behind the scenes. That is the only reason I'm able to stand before you wonderful people and talk about his love. When I look back on the last few years of our lives as a family, I see great suffering. Yet I see clearly God's love at work. Sweet and sour pork, hot fruit, hot summer fruits on ice cream, you know, that whole thing. He's at work. This has been a pretty dark week for many of you here too. Especially the family and friends of a beautiful, hilariously funny young man. Some of us know. Some of us taught even. Some of us carried. But because we know, and because I, Dodo, I know that God is still working, I am praying, and I hope you're praying, and trusting that he is actively working good out of this tragic death of young Joseph. It is so hard to say comforting words, but I know with my life that the Holy Spirit is ministering to his family, for all of us. God at work, he's working. It goes on to say, for those who he loved, he works on our behalf, and we, those of us who love him, but it's not to say he doesn't work to bring those who don't know him yet through adverse circumstances. I gave my life to Christ at a very difficult time of my life. He worked through my difficulties to bring him to me. So he's doing it for others too. Luke 19 verse 10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So he's working for those who don't know him yet too. because he's a generous God. He's a merciful God, and he doesn't want anyone to die in their sin. Sorry. But for those of us who believe, there's a special sense in which God is at work in all circumstances, at all times. There is so much heartache in our broken world, but he is actively working to bring good out of it. We have been called according to his purpose. For all who love God, in whose life he works, have been called according to his purpose. He's working in us towards his ultimate purpose, which I believe is total union with Christ Jesus. God foreknew us, Psalm 139. For you created my innermost being, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained to me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I don't need to elaborate on that. It's so self-explanatory. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. What love. He predestined us to the likeness of our Lord Jesus. Predestined for me goes with the fact that he knew what future he had for us when he was creating us. This is too big for my mind to comprehend. I can't get my head around it, but somehow in here, it sits well and it makes sense. Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ Jesus, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Gift you didn't have to work for. Not by works. Not by works. We cannot make him love us anymore by coming earlier, giving more tithe. Not that you shouldn't, please do. Being all sickly sweet, not complaining. It's a tough world. We will complain. We will whinge. We will feel lost. We will be overwhelmed. But we know we have him. So all we have to do is to just breathe. I don't know about you. There's sometimes all that I can do is to breathe. Hold myself together and breathe. Where did I get to? Gifts of God, not by words, so that no one can boast. 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Lord Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So he knew, he chose us. All these big words, predestined and foreknew, and it's all of that. Basically, he knew us when he was creating us. He knew the plans he had for us, and he knew what he wanted to do with us. And he's doing it, and trust me, he will do it. It will come, we will get to that place. Work in progress. I used to have a t-shirt which says, you know, be patient with me. I'm work in progress. I still am, and I'm sure you all are too. and the end result will be to be glorified. I believe that will be the end result, which when we meet our God and King, then his work will be complete. What then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? We sing this often, but we forget all too soon. Unfortunately, we live in a broken world which sucks the confidence out of us. And we forget because we have so much to grapple with. Now, if he can give his only son to die for us, will he not graciously give us his peace? Isn't his extravagant generosity so obvious, so available? Don't we see it daily? Who can bring a charge against us? We live in this fear because the accuser of the brethren is constantly reminding us where we've failed, or God knows. He knows our frailty. He knows we're not perfect. He knows. But we just need to remember that nobody can accuse us. The accuser of the brethren is a defeated foe. Christ is alive. Christ is risen. We serve a living God. He is a defeated foe. For Christ won the victory at Calvary. Christ died for us. More than that, he who was raised to life is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. How cool is that? How wonderful is that? I haven't been able to pray much this week. I groan. And I mention a few names, and I double over, and I groan. But I know Christ is interceding. And let's remember, God's immeasurable love is readily available for all of us. Please, 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 I'll remind you again, don't beat yourselves up when you hit the pit. It's natural. He, unlike us, will come into that hole, and when you're ready, he will sit by you. He will not say much, but know without a doubt that he's got you. His love is surrounding you wherever you are. Just focus on that, because I'm telling you, I don't remember being this low for a long time, for other reasons apart from grief. You haven't packed it in yet. You still come. Well done. Well done. It's really good to be with people who are still soldiering on. Perhaps we don't even need to soldier on. We put one foot in front of the other and breathe and trust and know. And know without a doubt that he's got us. I had to go to a funeral after a very difficult Tuesday morning. As a young lady I know whose husband died, she's a vicar, Methodist vicar. And when I was handed the order of service, the front read, the scripture there is, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels," on and on and on. And I smiled. So I said, okay, I will do the talk, God. I'm going to change what I had written. Give me the word. So what you're hearing now is not my original talk. "For what shall separate us from the love of God? Trouble?" Excuse me. Can you please put the last passage from what shall separate us to the end on for me, please? "Hardship, persecution, prejudice, famine, nakedness, danger, death, life, angels, demons, the present, future, heights, heartache, debt, struggles, shame," and the list continues. Look at this list and add your own. We're not sheep for the slaughter. We have a good shepherd. We're being led, and he's protecting us, and he will make sure the enemy doesn't get us. Nothing, my dear brothers and sisters, nothing at all you're going through will stop our God and Savior loving us. The width and the breadth is incomprehensible. I can't even begin to think about it. It's like being a child and sitting at the beach and thinking, where does the sea end? We cannot even begin to fathom his love for us. But we know, I don't know about you, but please just pray that he brings you to that place where you know without a doubt that absolutely nothing can come between us and the love that God has for us. Our confidence is not in our love for God, but his love for us. So in this world of what ifs, why, when, please, let's try and live in what is. And let's rest in what is. Because trust me, if I didn't do that, I'd be a complete nervous wreck, sectioned away. Because it doesn't make sense that I'm standing here talking to you. It's because of what is, which is the love of God. Let's rest in him. It's very difficult to rest in him because we fidget and we move around and we think and our brain goes into overdrive and we panic and we're fearful. But let's rest in him. Remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God be with you. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that you are what is, and you love us. Please be with us this week, and let us walk in your love. Amen.